Good evening. By God's help, we're going to talk about spirits. And Brother Michael, would you come up and put a couple of words on the board for us? Excellent and good. While he's doing that, would you join us as we ask God to bless us tonight? Our gracious, eternal God, we thank you for times in which you have blessed us. But we need you tonight. We're asking for the aid of the Holy Spirit. Would you visit every heart, even the children, Lord? Grant them that they could understand something that's said tonight. We're not here to waste time. We ask you, dear Lord, that you would back every word that is spoken. And that everyone will feel like it has been beneficial by being at the house of God tonight. Bless us in these minutes ahead. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Every human being has a spirit. You cannot look into a mirror and see your spirit like you can your face. You can look in the mirror and see that you have two eyes, what all composes your face. There is no x-ray machine that can take a picture of your spirit. But it is as real as your face or any part of your body. The human spirit, and the Word of God backs this up, that every individual has a spirit. In Job, the 32nd chapter, and the 8th verse, we'll read there. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Now, there are perhaps more than 5 billion people that inhabit planet Earth at this time, in this 21st century, 2010. Probably over 5 billion people. But each individual has their own unique spirit. There are no two identical. Even what is considered identical twins, their spirit are different. They may have similarities in looks, but their spirits are different. Even conjoined twins. There were a couple that come from Iran some years ago, and they were joined literally together, the backs of their head. They come to this country to have surgery to separate them. They did separate them, but they didn't live. They were aware that there was risk involved when they took on this decision. So they did not live. And even as closely as they were connected, they yet had their own unique spirit. So, Brother Charles Smith had twin boys. They had names that rhymed, Merrill and Daryl. And they would dress them alike when they were just young. And if one of them had on a plaid shirt and blue jeans, well, the other had the same. Daryl married before Merrill did, and he left home. They were in different households, but they still had some kind of a being on the same page to a certain extent, because without talking it over, they would come out dressed alike. So there was some real closeness there. So there are closeness in identical twins, but yet Meryl and Darryl had different spirits. If you were around them for a length of time, you probably could pick up that there was differences in their spirit. Well, Jesus had a spirit when he was here in the flesh. Of course, he is a spirit now, but he had a spirit when he was here in the flesh. And he described it himself, and he said that he was meek and lowly. That was the way he described himself. And truly he was that. Although he had powers that could speak to the waves that had been boisterous, threatening, and they just relaxed. He had powers to call demons out of a man that was so possessed that they could not keep clothing on him, and he didn't live in a house, he lived in a cemetery. And perhaps the people of the village would warn their children, don't go close to that man. Stay away. We don't trust him. He was miserable, tormented, day and night probably. But Jesus had the ability to rid that man of the demons that was in him. He had the ability to heal withered hands and to put hearing in deaf ears and sight in blind eyes. He had the ability to stop a funeral procession that a widow was taking her son for burial, and she didn't have to take him all the way because he went back home, because life was given to him through Jesus. He had power to do all of those things. But yet a power, would you say, beyond that, was the power that he had to just lay down his life. The power to stand there and take people spitting on him. The power to take them taking their hand and slapping him and beating him until his face was marred so that his looks was altered. That's a power, would you say, greater than putting sight in a person's eyes. To be able to take that kind of treatment and then to hang on a cross and to be able to say to his Father, Father, forgive them. That is a power that he had to forgive those that was crucifying him. So Jesus had a spirit, and he stated on the cross to the Father that he committed his spirit unto him. A great man in the Old Testament was Daniel, and he had a rating of his spirit. What his rating was, if you'll turn to Daniel, the 6th chapter and the 3rd verse. Then this Daniel was preferred above the president and prince because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now this is a man, flesh and blood, a human being that had been analyzed in a divine analyzation, and the results of that analyzation was that he had an excellent spirit. Now, perhaps one of the key things and factors into him receiving that type of a rating was that he was a praying man. Think that had something to do with it. He valued prayer above his life. He chose prayer over life. He was able, in the face of the death threat that was binding on him, to not forfeit or put his prayer life on hold, but he didn't feel like he could do that, and he prayed after the king had made it illegal for him to pray. He was such a close companion to God that he was able to get from God the meaning of a dream that the king had forgotten. What a challenge. Suppose somebody would call you and ask you to interpret the dream, and you would say, well, what did you dream? And he'd say, I don't remember it. That would be quite something to face, wouldn't it? But this Daniel, praying man, was in tune with God enough that God told him what the dream was and what the interpretation was. He valued prayer to the extent that whatever his agenda was, and he was one of the top men in government, held a very, very high position in government, and maybe he had a pretty full agenda every day, demanding his attention. But regardless of how full his agenda was, he took time to pray 3 times a day. Is that a key to his excellent spirit? Do we live in a fast-paced society? You can get a picture developed in Walmart in an hour, can't you? Used to, you'd take a picture and they'd have this little negative thing, and you'd have to take it out of your camera and take it to some place where they develop it. It might be some days before you got it back. But speed now. And people like these internets with fast dial-up or whatever. What is it? High speed. They make cars go way faster than the law permit. Fast-paced society. In Oklahoma, they have service stations called Quick Trips. California, they have In-N-Out Burgers. See, people are geared for wanting speed. Fast. Quick. How many has a microwave? And how many times have you wanted it to hurry? Well, I tell you, a Quick Trip prayer life I will not guarantee you that I will give you this. Little 5-minute prayers, and when you're down on your knees, you're thinking about, I got to get the car filled with gas. I got to pay this bill. That's really not touching the throne, is it? One song said, there is a blessed pavilion, a sacred inner court, the place of God's own dwelling with all the world. Is it easy to shut out the world? The demands of it? Look at Daniel as an example, though. As busy as he was, the agendas of the day, yet he took time 3 times a day for prayer. And he had an excellent spirit. The family altars has kind of fallen by the way, hasn't it? But the consequences hasn't. The consequences is it not very evident? It'll still take time to be holy. Oh yes, they have abilities now to capture pictures on cell phones. Speed. A quick trip. Prayer life will not get you deep spirituality. Amen. So, may I challenge you tonight to have an excellent spirit. Good is not good enough. Excellent. How is your spirit when you want and desire something very, very earnestly and you are denied it? Or somebody crosses your spirit or, of course, the children can throw temper tantrums, can't they? When they don't get their way. I read about a young boy, and he used to bluff his mother by threatening to take off his clothing. And one day he went to the dentist office and threatened, and they let him do it. And he had to walk out that way. One sister was in a store and her child wanted some candy and she wanted him to have fruit. It so happened that the sister got around to where they were checking out, and what do you think he had? He did. She probably didn't want him to cause some real big scene, so perhaps she give in to him just to keep him tamed down. You know, what prisons are around close here?
Angola.
Yes. And everyone in there has not been able to keep their spirit. They stole something or took a gun and took a life. God values the person that can control their spirit, it says in Proverbs 16th chapter, 32nd verse. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Now, the United States has had some very prominent military men who have what people thought and considered outstanding feats. It goes way back to General George Washington. There was, in the Civil War period time, Robert E. Lee. You remember those names? Ulysses Grant. Do they still tell about that in school books now? Well, they were military men. A lot closer up, Dwight Eisenhower, 5-star general. Closer yet, Colin Powell. Closer yet, David Petraeus. Men who have excelled in military. They used to give ticker tape parades for military men, didn't they? Honoring them. But this says the person that can rule their spirit is greater than the individual that can plan the strategy and outmaneuver the enemy and take a city. That young person, that child, that can say no to their peers that want to tempt them to do wrong. That young person that can say no to temptation and walk away from it. That older person, and I was in the Oklahoma City airport last Friday, and they had one of the checkpoints closed off, so it made quite a congestion in the one that was opened. And there was a younger lady or female in front of me, and she was dressed far from modest. And the line over here was coming this way, and we were going this way, and I observed a man. And if I'm not mistaken, he was looking at the lady that was dressed so immodest. That young man that can turn his head away and not look at what is exposed before him is greater than the generals. You won't get your name on the, what newspaper they have down here?
Advocate.
You won't get your name on the front page of the Advocate? But you're greater than those who do.
Amen.
Not just military heroes, but there are entertainment icons, aren't they? Anybody in here heard of Elvis Presley? Anybody in here hasn't heard of him? They're still making money off of him. They're still making money off of Elvis Presley. I was in a gift store in Memphis, Tennessee, and they had Elvis stuff in there to sell. He had an abnormal effect on women. They swooned. They acted silly. They really did act silly. If you were a fan of his, you don't have to admit that. He had a sway, a power that he was able to affect women. And he could have probably had a lot of girlfriends. But that man said that he would give $1 million for a week of peace. You see, his spirit was troubled.
Yeah.
And he died from chemicals in his system. Did he have power over his own spirit? He had power to make millions of dollars, sold gold records, You have to sell a million to do that. He had power to do all of those things, but yet he did not have control over his own spirit and used drugs for his emotional needs or whatever he used it for. Did you ever hear of Mike Tyson? He was a heavyweight champion of the world. But he bit a man's ear off. He lost it. So there are sports heroes. And young people, they get to really liking a certain sports hero. And they feed that in the commercial world. You take a let's say a quarterback who successfully on many occasions will take the ball from his center, come back here, and he'll pass to this fullback or end, and they'll get over here to the goal line and make the touchdown. If he does that consistently enough, he'll be a hero, won't he? And maybe get on the Wheaties box. But that doesn't mean that he has power over his spirit. Some people have lost temporarily power of their own spirit, and it may be harder to keep control of your own spirit when you're tired. Is that right? What about a mother that has a splitting headache all day long, and her children won't obey her, and they're fussing and fighting, and it feels like her heart's beating in her head, and she just feels so bad, and they just continually fussing and fighting and won't obey her, and she screams at them, kind of justifying herself because she feels so bad. So there can be times it's harder. And let me tell you, it takes God to control the spirit. We need divine help. I pray that the Lord helps me behave myself. You ever pray like that? I do. I pray it more than once a year. I think I've prayed it today. That I behave myself. Do I always have peaches and cream circumstances? Absolutely not. Do you? Do you have all green lights when you're in a hurry? Life isn't set up that way, is it? For all green lights and everything to happen that's just what you want to happen. So your spirit is going to need divine control. It says the tongue, no man can tame it. It takes God to control the tongue. It takes God to control your spirit. If he don't do it, you won't be under control. Samson was a big, well, he might not have been. He might have been skinny. You probably think of Samson maybe as a big man with ripply muscles and strong, but if he was skinny, God would get more of the praise, wouldn't he? However he was, he had abnormal strength. He took the gates of a city and walked off. He took a bone and killed 1,000 of his enemies. He was a powerful individual. But he fell under the influence and love of a woman that had conspired with some people for a payoff. Monetary payoff. And he allowed himself to get so infatuated and taken up with this woman that she got the secret, and he actually laid his head down in the enemy's lap, and he had his first haircut, and after that, his strength went. But he failed to keep control of his spirit. Strong, mighty. I don't know of any man that would take on a lion and come out on the top. Well, David did, but I don't know of anyone in here that would want to take that challenge. But Samson did, but he failed to control his spirit. Moses was acclaimed to be the meekest man on all the earth. But he, on one occasion, lost it. He was supposed to speak to the rock, and instead of speaking, he took something and hit it. He got so upset at those people, he just gave them a good telling off. Is your spirit tonight here? How do you act when somebody cuts in front of you going to the checkout line? How do you feel? How do you feel? You know they have road rage now? That I was riding with an elderly sister, and her driver's skills isn't excellent. And she did something to upset somebody. And when we got up on the road, this person was so angry, they were crowding us. And it was scary. And she didn't have a pleasant look on her face, the lady that was doing it. God had mercy on us, and she eased off after a while. How's your spirit when you're crossed? When you don't get your way? When you want to give that last word, a piece of your mind, how's your spirit then? Is it excellent? It's a challenge, folks, to have an excellent spirit.
Yes, it is.
It's a real challenge to do it. And you know what? One thing is so important about the spirit. It never dies. It never dies. There were a time when you and I never existed. We were non-existent. But that time will be no more. We'll always exist. Your spirit never dies. The scripture was brought out last night about the man, the rich man. And here is full proof that the spirit does not die. Luke 16:22. Well, I'll give it a little background. Here is a case of two individuals, one at one extreme and one at the other. The extreme of the one named Lazarus was that he was a beggar. He didn't have good nutrition. He had sores on his body. Sores that oozed corruption. Did the rich man look out there with a compassionate look, and even if he didn't want to touch him, he had servants, and he could have said, go out there, bathe that sores and put some soothing oil on it and make him as comfortable as you can. Bring him in and let him have a good meal. Did he have compassion like that? No, he did not. The dogs had more compassion. They licked those sores, those oozing, corrupty sores. Well, I called it compassion, whatever motivated them. And this rich man could sit in his dining room and have lobster and steak and gourmet food and wines. He fared sumptuously. He wore purple. He probably had the respect of the community where he lived. Well, they had something in common. We heard about death last night. Both of them died. And perhaps the rich man had the finest type of funeral that money could provide. Maybe there were people who arose and stood up and said flowery words. They probably didn't have the kinds of modes of funeral where a preacher will say, I don't know just how all of that went back in those days. But you know how preachers nowadays, and I read something that said, live so the preacher don't die or lie at your funeral. Whatever was spoken, however the mode of funeral was for this rich man, he was taken out and buried. But that wasn't the end of him. His spirit was still alive. Somebody read what happened after he was dead and buried.
It came to pass that Rebecca died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Yeah. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments.
You can stop there. You can stop there for a while. All right. Here we have Lazarus, the man that had the corruption oozing from his body in life, desired crumbs. We have him over here. Paradise. In the bosom of Abraham. Remember, the scripture said the rich man was buried. That wasn't the end of him. For in torment, he was able to lift up his eyes. Your spirit has eyes. Your spirit is complete. Eyes. And he could see. Here he is in torment. But he could see over here Lazarus. At rest. At peace. What did he say?
He seeth Abraham afar off. Yeah. Lazarus in his bosom.
Uh-huh.
He cried and said,
oh, now he has, his spirit has a voice. Has your spirit ever talked to you? You need to get saved. You need to do different. You need to change. His spirit could talk. And what did it say?
Father Abraham.
Father Abraham.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Send Lazarus.
Oh yeah, now Lazarus. He didn't want his finger in his house on his food, but now he wanted a drop of water. Can you see that? Is a drop of water a big request? He didn't ask for a drink, a full glass. One drop. See, his spirit was in torment and he wanted a little relief. One drop. Send him. Because I'm
tormented in this place.
He had feelings. His spirit was alive. He had eyes to see. He had a voice that could speak and cry. And he had feelings that he could feel torment. That inner part of you is real, folks. It is eternal. It'll never be out of existence. It's forever. Your spirit, it's real. And what did he want? This man to bring some water down to him. Was the request granted? What does it say about it?
Abraham said, "Son, remember."
And you can remember. Oh, the memory. Remember.
Yeah.
Those that pass beyond the veil tonight can remember. And not only did he feel torment then, he's feeling it now.
Yeah.
And he'll feel it forever. You see, this is a temporary holding here. The compartment of Hades, the paradise, and the compartment down here. But what's going to happen to this rich man after time comes in contact with eternity? There's a lake of fire. And he's going from here to here, to the lake of fire, forever and ever, there's no exit.
That's right. Amen.
Lazarus could not come.
That's right.
If he would even wanted to come, he couldn't do it. Forever. This rich man is in torment now, but the torment's going to be greater when he goes into the lake of fire. And everyone that does not have their sins under the blood is going to join him.
That's so. That's right.
Is he going to join him? Serious, isn't it? Very serious. Your spirit is in your hand. Your eternal destiny is in your hand. You have the option of what you want to do with it. Remember, in your lifetime, you know that unsaved people are having their best now. See, Lazarus had the beggars' life. He don't have it tonight. He's at peace. He's at rest. Those who are unsaved, your best is now. In eternity, it's not going to be this way. You're going to be forever lost. Your spirit will be tormented. And in all the crying, all the wailing, all the weeping will not avail a bit. You'll be forever lost, and your spirit will be able to endure the torment of eternity. Burn and burn and never burn up in a lake of fire. Serious, folks. We need to have an excellent spirit. Be ready to live or ready to die. The one song says, soon will your death knell be tolling. And people need to think about death. They need to realize and rationalize, and it's real, folks. Here a while back, I went and I went to this funeral home and selected a casket, and I've got a space in the cemetery. It's coming, and it's coming to you too. They've already got my tombstone laid out there. I was able to go see it. One of these days. And you too. The smallest baby in here is under the death sentence. Oh, it's so much better if you have to be a beggar. Whatever you have to go through in this life. Lazarus didn't have a peach and cream bed of roses life. But oh, he's enjoying now.
Amen.
He's enjoying now. It's a challenge to have an excellent spirit.
Yes.
Our Father tonight, you know everyone in here. You know what kind of spirit they have. You weigh the spirits. You test the spirits. Tonight we ask you that you'll make this real to people. That their spirit is eternal. The body dies, buried, but the spirit lives on. Ask you to touch every child here tonight. To realize that the time they need to develop a good spirit is when they're young. You have told in the Word of God to remember your Creator in the days of youth. Bless every teenager that is bent and drawn to the lust of the things of this life. To realize how short-lived they would be if they were fulfilled. Bless every senior citizen, all of us that are on the home stretch of life. Help our spirits. We need you, Lord. We need you all the way. Bless everyone tonight, Lord, to seek to have that excellent spirit. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.